Today, we are going to deal with the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, this particular commandment is widespread, and it is one that covers a multitude of areas. And I don't know if we're going to get through all of it by the end of this particular segment, but we're going to try. First, fornication. That's what everyone sees as the great sin committed against the sixth commandment. That would be having sexual activity prior to marriage. Now, in our society, so many feel that this is perfectly acceptable. And just because everyone thinks that it's acceptable, or many, many people do, does not mean that it is morally acceptable. And the reason is because instead of a couple focusing on loving one another, I mean really loving one another, because when you really stop to think of it, to love a person is not just to love their body, because if it is with regard to loving the body only, what you're doing is you're placing your love, which is spiritual, intellectual, emotional, on that which is transitory. The body fails, the body becomes weaker, the body grows old. And if one falls in love with the beauty of the body, when the beauty of the body fades, so does love, or what is called love. And so therefore, before marriage, one must truly get to know the other person in a loving way outside of the conjugal act of marriage. And this is very important, because oftentimes I have found in my own personal experience with regard to couples, for example, when we're preparing them for marriage, I take the women aside and I ask them one question. And I say this: if you are afraid to tell your boyfriend, your fiancé, that you are going to refrain from having any sexual activity until after you are married, if you are afraid that he will leave and find someone else, you will live with that fear until the day you die, because marriage will not alleviate that fear. Now, the second point would be self-abuse or masturbation, impurities with oneself, whatever the term may be. And this is dangerous because, you see, what happens is when one commits this act, they have in their mind, going through their mind, an image that is absolutely flawless. There are no little flaws that take place during that image making. And you attach that flawless image that you could never have, because no one is flawless. Ask a married couple. No one is perfect. And you create in your mind this perfect scenario, this perfect person, this perfect circumstance. And you attach to it one of the most intense physical pleasures you can have. And what happens is you begin to expect that perfection in that act. And what it does is it ruins a person for reality. It ruins them. I know many couples who have separated and possibly even broken up permanently because their lust in this sin brought them so far away from reality that no wife could please them. And so they sought for the rest of their lives the fulfillment of that fantasy. That's the danger of that sin. Now, we have the third point. Acts of perversion. Now, what are acts of perversion? Acts of perversion would be anything that takes love, which is a reflection of God, because God is love, and it turns it to immediately and completely to the self. In other words, it is a selfish kind of love. And so love, by its very nature, has to be creative. Why? Because love, in its generosity, needs to grow, to be creative, a participation in the creative love of God the Father. And therefore, procreation is part of that love. It's part of marriage. That's why there can only be marriage between a man and a woman. And why? Because they are the only ones who can bring forth life as an effect of their love together. And so, therefore, we must We must focus on what the love that two people have really means. A person who cannot procreate, for example, two individuals of the same sex that want to get together and be married, it's impossible. Marriage is a sacrament for two people so that they can consecrate in their love and in their creating new life. It's for the perfection and the protection of children. And therefore, even if, say for example, a couple comes into the church, the Catholic Church, and they say, we've decided we are not going to have any children, but we want to be married. The church cannot perform that marriage. Because if they are not open to procreation, they cannot be married in the church, because that is an essential aspect of the concept of marriage. Now, the fourth point is contraception, the pill, having sterilization procedures done, using prophylactics, or those things that prevent the natural act from taking place. Now, these types of procedures or these types of actions basically make that which they consider love simply an act of usage. People use each other. They use each other for what? For that moment of pleasure. Just for that moment. Why? Because there's no repercussions. There's no effect. Their love is incapable of growing because it really isn't love. And no one can tell me, no one can tell anyone really, from the deepest part of their heart, that they love someone that they would never want to have a child with. You can't love that person. Not in reality. Not the kind of love that marriage requires or demands. And so therefore, we need to be open to creation. And therefore, contraception will always be wrong. It will always be grave sin. For what you are doing is you are not only disrespecting each other as a couple created by God and as a love consecrated by God that must be open to that creative element, the promotion of life, the incarnation of your love. That is why it's so important to know one's faith. Now, the fifth point, immodesty for the sake of arousal, wearing clothes that will tempt others around us. This is sinful. Why? Because what we are doing is we are putting images in other people's minds through our own lust or through our own egotism, through our own selfishness, and we are causing them to enter possibly into grave sin. We must recognize, all of us, that there are consequences to our actions. We are responsible. There is no such thing as a neutral decision. All decisions either move us toward heaven or move us away from heaven toward hell. There is no limbo when it comes to the decisions that we make, especially with regard to our dress and our modesty or immodesty. Sixth point, sensuality outside of marriage for, once again, the sake of arousal. Within marriage, it's a wonderful thing because you're moving toward that intimacy that is part of that procreative love that marriage was consecrated to be. But when we do such things, we sin against the very person that we are seeking to arouse. Because what we are doing is placing them in a situation that they are going to be worked up to the point of no return. And then they lose the ability to say no. And then we are responsible personally for their inability to make that choice. And we will be held accountable before God for their impurity. Now, the next time we get together, we are going to talk about a number of other things. Onanism. Degrading sexual practices, prostitution, rape, in vitro fertilization. But until then, think about what we've discussed. And think about the very truth that all we are talking about is love and the perfection of love.